It is the Monday Waffle, episode 22. Not exactly the waffle you just heard there, Jimmy, but it's good reason we're playing that music.
Yeah, well, the Swan District girls made history yesterday, winning all three grades, the youth, girls, reserves and league, all winning their grand finals yesterday in the WAWFL. So congratulations from everyone here at the Monday Waffle on a very successful day. And it's not the waffle, but it is the women's version of West Australian footy. And Captain Cara Dunellan from the Fremantle Dockers women's team was best on ground. So music to the ears of Freo fans.
Yeah, congratulations to her. Well deserved. She will be a force. She was a force in this game and hopefully for next season as well.
Yeah, I look forward to watching her. Apparently she is a gun, just a gut runner and a ball winner at best.
There it is! Swans have ended a 20-year drought.
Up on the mark! Unbelievable!
Big leg, big mark. Knocked down by Stevenson. Cracker gathers, shoots, and Swans have won the grand final.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Back to the waffle action now, and Jimmy, what is going on the ladder?
It's all happening, Jared. East Perth losing to Perth on the weekend. What a cracking game that was. Cody Nenette booted 7, and the biggest result of this is that the Demons, yes, they move off the bottom of the ladder, but they have given either West Perth or Claremont a chance this week in round 23 to sneak back into the five. And of course, Claremont defeated Swans. We'll get to that a little later, but a massive game between Claremont and West Perth this week. The winner can sneak into the five.
Much like the actual AFL ladder around the eight, the five, just what's going
to
happen?
You couldn't ask for a better end to the regular season of this year's waffle.
But we'll get to that a little later. But let's get to some news, Jimmy. So news around the waffle. Where do you want to start?
There's a couple of injuries, Jared. There's talk Talon Ames might not get up for his a game, possibly a farewell game this week for the Swans. He came off the ground in his clash and may not get up for a farewell, which will be really sad. He's been a legend of that footy club at the Swan Districts. And Jack Bradshaw did his PCL, so his season's pretty much over.
Yeah, he was looking to play his 100th game this season, and yeah, since injuring his PCL in the state game, hasn't managed to come back, and he pinged it again at training this week.
Oh, that's devastating. And of course, another one, unfortunately, this man, Joel Latham from the Subiaco Lions, he ruptured his ACL, and I believe it was one of the PCL or MCL as well. So
devastating.
He's out of action for probably at least 10 or 11 months after having major surgery.
He's going to miss most of next season, which is devastating. On positive injury news, we can go with, well, a well-known docker, former docker, Anthony Morabito. He's on the return. He's for the reserves at Claremont, battling a 10-week issue with knee soreness, and he's looking to make a return.
Yeah, well, who knows, Jared? They might play him this week against the Falcons. They need a win to get into the five, and we've, as I said earlier, we've crunched the numbers. We'll talk about that a little later. He might put his hand up. He would be a handy inclusion.
Absolutely. And, well, I want to stick on the Dockers for just one more second. Stephen O'Reilly, might have known the name. He played 98 games for the Dockers in the past. Well, his son Dylan, he's debuted for East Freo on the weekend. Kicked a handy goal on debut.
Yeah, well, it's always good to see father sons playing in any level of footy. So congratulations to Dylan on his debut.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
All right, as usual, jumping into the games, having a look first of all at East Freo versus Peel Thunder. And, well, Jimmy, East Freo had their chance up until three-quarter time and then blew it.
Yeah, they'll be super disappointed because it now means they're more than likely going to win the Wooden Spoon after what's been a superb end to the season. You said a long time ago that they wouldn't win a game, Jared, but they've improved so much. They've got a lot of players back through injury, but
absolutely.
Yeah, 7-0
in the final quarter. Yeah, the final score, well, that was 10-8-68 to 8-7-55, and well, the win assures Peel that they have got third position on the ladder locked up. They will take on South Fremantle in the qualifying final at Freo Community Bank Oval, if you're interested there. And the positive for Freo as well is Leroy Jetta's returned. Didn't have a huge impact, only had 5 kicks and a goal, but coming finals time, you want a guy like him in the team ready to go.
Yeah, he's a great goal sneaker. Obviously, former Essendon listed player, knows exactly where the big sticks are.
Freo Ruckman, Jonathan Griffin, who's behind Sean Darcy, who's been suspended now. He's going to miss a match, so maybe he'll get him a call-up. Who knows? He had a big say in the final result. 17 touches, 36 hit-outs, and 2 goals to himself. Tommy Sheridan, another docker, 23 touches, 9 tackles, and 7 marks.
Yeah, and Jared, on the back of a very disappointing loss by the Dockers, they've given themselves every chance to play in the last round of the AFL this week.
Exactly, and just another call-up before the end of the season. For East Frio, captain Jamie McNamara kicked 2 goals from 18 touches. Cameron Eardley coming back from his suspension, 29, not a bad player he is there. Jesse Crichton, he's enjoying playing on the ball, 28 touches, 10 tackles, and a goal. And, well, as I just mentioned before, it's a trial run now for next week with Peel. They get to take on South Fremantle, and then the next team they play is going to be South Fremantle in the final.
It'll be interesting to see how they go with that one. Jared, at Laughlane Park, the Demons won a thriller over the Royals. I don't think many people expected this one to happen, Jared.
I didn't.
Yeah, 3-3 in the last term. 98-93 was the final score, and a terrific individual performance from Cody Ninyet, 7 goals and 22 touches, willing his team over the line. Not sure what else I can say, but that's superb.
And then it could have been a little better with the 4 behinds he kicked, so who knows?
Yeah, possibility of 11 scoring shots on goal by one player. 14-14 was the Demons' final score to 13-15 for the Royals. And of course, Mr. Consistent, Clint Jones, another 38 touches. McKenna and Troppiano in the midfield for the Demons had 25 and 24 respectively. And some good news for Eagles fans, I suppose, and maybe keeping his career alive here. Sharad Wellingham, 33 touches. Blee had 23. Captain Patrick McGinnity had 27 and 3 goals too. And another good sign, if you're an Eagles supporter, is that Jake Waterman, he booted 3 goals, father-son for the Eagles. He might not play this week for the Eagles, but he's certainly an exciting prospect.
I know from hearing from sources that he's very much highly rated, as well as Venables, who is yet to make a debut as well.
Yeah, well, we obviously know, and I'm sure our listeners will know, that a lot of Eagles have retired so far. We know Pritis and Mitchell were gone, so they're going through a super interesting transition period now.
For sure.
But they do have some really good kids coming through.
Well, Tigers and Swans. And the Tigers have spoilt the party for the Swans in this one. The Swans could have locked away a final spot with this win. Well, it's not going to happen anymore. They went down 13-17-95 to 11-5-71. So the Tigers almost were, the scoreline's flattering almost, 17 behinds. The Tigers could have done a little better there. But the Tigers winning this keep their finals hopes alive, which we'll get to in the ladder review a little later. And yeah, that's 30 shots on goal. So they dominated the play. It was all Tigers all the way. They had an extra 154 more touches than the Swans, 27 more marks, and 19 extra inside 50s.
And Jared, it's talked about so much amongst footy lovers. It's that premiership quarter that got them over the line. Mm-hmm. 6-6-1 behind for the Swan Districts, which landed them in the lead, and they stormed home thanks to some goal-kicking ability from goal-kicking midfielders, which is always important.
And, well, there's one midfielder that was known for his skill, maybe a reigning Sandover medalist known as Jai Bolton. 41 touches. This seems like a week for big numbers in the Waffle. 41 touches, 9 inside 50s. Bailey Banfield, 28 for the Tigers. Jared Hardesty, as you said, goal-kicking mids. 26 touches, 2 goals for him.
Yeah, former Hawk Jared Hardesty, and very, very rough around the footy. I certainly would not want to be on the end of a Jared Hardesty tackle.
And it's also that for big numbers out of defence for the Tigers. There was 33 touches for Hayden Buescher, and Ryan Murphy had 31. They're big numbers.
Seems to be a style of play that the Tigers, if they can get it going, is really, really hard to stop. They rebound off half-back, get it in quick. They've got some really talented forwards. Obviously, Tommy Lee's not playing anymore, but that seems to be their style. He's out injured, and if they can get it in there, that shows you what they're capable of doing. 6-0
Yeah, and for the Swans, just a few things to point out. Ricky Carey, he came back, kicked 5 goals from 7 kicks. The only time he's kicked up 5 other goals was against Claremont, so he likes playing these guys.
Yeah.
Faulkner, he does his thing, 33 possessions, 5 tackles. Corey Galt, former Magpie, 20 touches, 34 hitouts to Mitch Andrews, who had 44. So a good duel there.
Yeah, Jared, I was at Leaderville Oval for the Lions and the Falcons, and disappointing result if you're a Falcons supporter.
Yeah, you're not a fan there. Yeah, bad luck there, Jimmy.
It was a very disappointing day. The final score, 19-14, 128, the Lions. Mm. The Falcons, 6-10, 46. And it was really the Lions forward line, which was just amazing. I haven't seen a display like it for some time. Ben Sockle kick six. Kyle Halligan in his first game back in league footy for quite some time, for the year, in fact. He booted four. Lachlan Delahunty booted three. And Liam Ryan, he kicked two. And, of course, Jared took another beautiful mark.
It's almost like, if he doesn't take one, that's the shocking thing now. Yeah. It's like a Jeremy Howe.
Yeah, he's given himself every chance to end up on an AFL list next year. The scary part is that they won this game without Captain Kyle Horsley. Clancy Wheeler is still to come back. And Chris Phelan's out for the year with injury. So it was Vice-Captain Lee Kitchen that stepped up in the midfield. He had 29 amongst some other players for Subiaco who all chipped in. I was really impressed with Powell's game. He had 25, looked like a handy addition off the half-back and on the wing. Sometimes looked like he was running forward and helping out his teammates in that half of the ground. They were just unstoppable. I don't really know how else to put it, Jared.
Well, it's you see from the stats and the way they play, it's understandable how they have only lost one game, and that was in the first round.
Yeah, 18 straight for the Lions. They are certainly on their way to another successful campaign in the finals, and they've got a massive chip on their shoulder, I would assume, after losing to Peel last year. And I think they're going to go as far this year. Whether that's winning the premiership this year, I think they'll be there in the last.
They'll give themselves every chance.
Sunday in September.
Mm-hmm.
For the Falcons, the story was that they just can't find an avenue to goal at the moment. I mean, Keitel booted two, Strike, Van Berlo, Moulton, Lynch, one goal apiece. But their forward line was just so dysfunctional on Saturday afternoon. And I don't know what they're going to do this week. There's still a chance to get in the five, Jared. They can beat Claremont. Last time they played, they had a chance to win the game. Chalmers had a shot after the siren. Very tough kick. He missed it. But that's going to be an absolute cracker because the winner potentially sneaks back into the five, and we've crunched the numbers, Jared, and we will get to that very, very shortly.
If you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
All right, Jimmy, we've teased it several times. It's time to go through the numbers on the ladder at such a crucial point in the season, and percentage is also important.
It's so crucial, Jared, and it's going to come down to that to determine the final five, especially for Claremont. They are a game, as it stands, outside of the five, but if they defeat West Perth, and we've crunched the numbers, this is what would have to happen for Claremont to get back into the five this week. They'd have to beat West Perth, and on a very hypothetical, because I don't want this to happen. Everyone who knows me knows I'm a Falcons lover. If the Tigers score 120 and concede 60 points, they'd bump their percentage up from 103.23 to 106.90, which would put them above East Perth. If the Royals were to lose to Subi, that would sneak Claremont into the five. For the Falcons, well, it's as simple as this. They beat Claremont and East Perth lose to the Subiaco juggernaut, they get fifth spot.
Wow. Jesus, so much movement can happen in such a short amount of, like, it's crazy. A 60-point margin can cause so much trouble.
It is. It's unbelievable what's going to happen. It couldn't get any more exciting for Waffle fans. I'm sure there'll be a massive crowd at Claremont Oval on Saturday to watch that game because, yeah, it's just, that's a blockbuster finish. I'm sure Gavin Taylor and the team at the Waffle couldn't have asked for a better finish. It's going to be amazing.
Just edge of the seat stuff. And we'll give you a little insight is to just, if you want to work out some numbers yourself, the actual formula to figure out AFL percentage or Waffle percentage in this situation, it is the points for the team you're looking at divided by the points that are against them. So points four divided by against, multiply that number by 100, and that gets you your percentage.
I just want to throw in a little disclaimer. I haven't completely written the Royals off. They might beat Subi, but that all takes into account that the Lions do, of course, account for the Royals, which could push them out of the five, which would be disappointing from an Eagles fan perspective, and of course, all the Royals faithful out there listening to the Monday Waffle.
And Jimmy, just I want to throw in here quickly one more thing. As strange as it could be, Swan Districts, who are sitting in fourth right now, can still fall out of the top five due to their low percentage if West Perth absolutely pummel Claremont, which is very possible. It's all hypotheticals here at the moment. The Swan Districts could fall out. East Perth don't have to win.
Wow. it's going to be an amazing finish, Jared.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti. I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
So to summarise that ladder, Subiaco will finish first, three games potentially clear in clinching that minor premiership. First place, 72 points. The South Fremantle Bulldogs, they're in second with 60. Peel Thunder in third with 48. Swan Districts are fourth on 40 points, and East Perth in fifth spot at the moment with 36.
West Perth, they then take out the next spot. They are on 36 points as well, but with a much smaller percentage. Claremont and Perth, then East Fremantle, who sit sadly alone now on 8 points.
Jared, can they win this week and prevent themselves from losing the wooden spoon? Or winning the wooden spoon, I should say.
Well, they can. They've got a superior percentage. I'd say a win will get it, but then Perth have just shown they can beat the Royals. I don't know what's going to happen anymore. Tipping's is too hard now.
And we'll do just that now, Jared, having a look at the final round, round 23 of the Waffle. I can't believe how fast this season's gone, Jared. It blows me away.
We've got there.
First game of the round is that blockbuster in the fixture. Claremont and West Perth, 2:15 at Claremont Oval, the winner potentially going into the five, as we've talked about, Jared. The next game of the round, the Swan Districts, they host East Fremantle at Steel Blue Oval. As we mentioned a touch earlier, Jared, East Fremantle would have to cause an upset here to prevent them from winning the wooden spoon.
A major upset. And then we move on to Peel versus Souths. This is like we said, it's the prep game for the actual... It's a scratch match almost. And then East Perth versus Subiaco. You need something serious to happen there for East Perth to win. It's all possible with Perth winning this week, but I don't know.
So who are you going to pick, Jared? Let's start with Claremont and West Perth.
I'm going to give this game... It's at Claremont Oval, so I'll give it to Claremont. Yep. And this means we could be seeing some exciting things on the ladder. Jimmy, what about... the Swan District's East Fremantle... Nah, Swans. Swans with that. Peel. South Fremantle will take down Peel. But then who really knows that game? This game's almost negligible for them now. And then Subi probably will beat East Perth.
Okay.
You?
I'm going to back my boys in. I'm going to back the Falcons to give them every chance at sneaking back into the five. They've been done a massive favour by the Demons, and I'm sure they'll cash that in. They were extremely close last time at Claremont Oval. I'm going to back them in. I know coming off a disappointing result, but I hope that the red and the blue will triumph there. The Swans will beat the Sharks in the final game for those teams at Steel Blue Oval. And well done, to Andrew Stephen, who's an East Fremantle legend. He will retire from the game retire from the Waffle after that game. So congratulations on a great career, Andrew, from everyone here at the Monday Waffle. I agree with you here, Jared. I think Peel will lose to South Fremantle. I think the Bulldogs will be too strong. Their forward line, it's like Subi's. It's just it's so good, so efficient, and so scarily.
It goes in there, it's going through the sticks.
Yeah, pretty much. Just so efficient, and anyone there can really put their hand up and kick a bag on any given day. So who knows who it will be this week, but I think the Bulldogs will get the job done down there in Mandurah. And Subiaco, surely. They dropped the first game of the year. They lost to the Bulldogs. I don't think they're going to drop the last one with how they've been playing their footy. I think they'll account for East Perth quite easily at what is both of these teams' home ground, Leadable Oval.
And it's pretty simple. Those games will all be on Saturday at 2:15, so it's not going to be too difficult to figure out, but you're going to have to commit to one of those games. And, Jimmy, it's going to be so exciting to see what happens in this ladder.
Yeah, anything could really happen with that five. I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen. It's been an unpredictable finish, Jared.
It's crazy. Well, thank you for listening to round 22 of the Monday Waffle. I'm Jared Gardner.
And I'm Jimmy Williams. Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle. Enjoy the last round of the regular season.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.